A G20 summit of finance ministers has ended with the U.S. signing on for a change, given recent summits. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Both calming and nervous views of world trade out of this weekend's Group of 20 summit in Argentina. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, has more on this. Hello.
Good morning, David.
All right. Well, compared to the G7 meeting in June, at least the U.S. signed on to this one. But what do we sign?
Well, the G20 came back with a pretty strong joint statement saying that, you know, the risks to growth over the short and medium term, they've increased. And they cited rising financial vulnerabilities. They cited heightened trade and geopolitical tensions. And they talked about how international trade is still the engine of growth.
And U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was there. He signed on to this. He is a little more sanguine about the risk of these trade tensions to the U.S. economy, but some of his trading partners seem to be more worried.
That's right. France's finance minister said the EU shouldn't negotiate trade with, quote, a gun to its head. But Steve Mnuchin came back saying, look, this isn't about protectionism. This is about more free trade. This is about both China and the EU opening their markets so that the U.S. can compete fairly.
All these world leaders in one spot for the summit. Did they get any work done on these trade disputes that are front and center? For instance, U.S.-China.
Not really, David. According to Steve Mnuchin, though they were there in the same place, they didn't have any substantive talks. It was just, quote unquote, chit chat.
My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in London. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Markets here with the U.S. and Iranian leaders saber rattling, at least rhetorically, over the last 24 hours. Crude oil is up 1.2% in New York. Dow and S&P stock futures are down 0.1%, but the Nasdaq future is down 0.4%. It is not exactly a happy time in Toyland, at least not retail Toyland. Toys R Us is bankrupt. This morning we'll get some intel on how that and other shifts in e-commerce are affecting the toy makers. Hasbro reports profits for the spring after a pretty dismal start of the year, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
For toy makers, Toys R Us's disappearing act is a huge blow. It leaves fewer places to showcase new toys and fewer opportunities for parents to drag cranky children up and down the aisles and make impulse purchases. Hasbro is expanding in e-commerce and to dollar stores, drug, and sporting goods stores. But analyst Jamie Katz at Morningstar says mass market stores like Walmart and Target are most important.
The biggest swing is still going to be on those big box vendors rather than having some small percentage of sales at like sporting goods stores.
Analyst Keith Snyder at CFRA Research says the demise of Toys R Us hurts smaller toy makers the most because it's so expensive to reach consumers nationwide without a national toy store chain. So
we're going to see a lot of industry consolidation at this point. And, you know, Hasbro in particular is very well positioned to start buying up a lot of these smaller assets.
Hasbro is already on a buying spree. It just acquired the Power Rangers brand. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Stock in a company called Tilray is up 46% since the launch on the Nasdaq market on Thursday. Tilray is a bet valued at about $1 billion that the legal marijuana business is here to stay. Now, you could trade stocks in marijuana companies informally, over-the-counter, OTC is the term, but trading on a regulated big-time stock exchange is a relatively new thing for cannabis companies. Alan Brockstein is founder of 420investor.com, a platform that tracks stocks from the weed world. Thanks for connecting.
It's my pleasure, David.
So when it comes to cannabis companies on the U.S. exchanges, there's a few, right? But they're over-the-counter stocks, OTC?
That is correct. And, you know, the OTC has several different types of companies on it. And many of the publicly traded companies on the OTC don't even file with the Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC. Part of that is obviously because of the federal illegality. But I think another part is most of the real companies have been kind of cautious because in early 2014, when Colorado legalized the whole sector of publicly traded stocks, just exploded. They were up like 10 times, 20 times, 30. In the ensuing sell-off, these stocks lost up to 100% of their value. Some of them are gone, actually. So I think we've changed. And now we're starting to see the real U.S. cannabis industry access the publicly traded markets, sometimes on the OTC. More often than not, though, it's been through Canada, actually.
But not exclusively OTC over-the-counter stocks.
There have been some interesting developments over the years, the first of which was a company called GW Pharmaceuticals, a UK-based company. They listed in May of 2013. The stock was in the eights. It's trading now in the 140s. And now this is a biotech company, but they are actually using plant-derived cannabis. I mean, that's been just a very successful story, but, you know, it's a little bit different. They're not selling in dispensaries in the United States.
And we're not quite ready for just an index that would be linked to a basket of cannabis stocks?
So there are indexes. I actually run five of them at newcannabisventures.com. We list them all. The problem right now is due to the federal illegality being part of it, but also just the rules of creating funds, the liquidity isn't quite there yet for the sector to have U.S. stocks. But the indices are out there, so people can track the market for sure.
Financial analyst Alan Brockstein is founder of 420investor.com. This is a platform that focuses on publicly traded stocks in the cannabis industry. Mr. Brockstein, thank you.
It was my pleasure, David.
And you know the shape of a Toblerone, chocolate triangles like the teeth on a steam shovel. Wouldn't the company be clever if it put in more space between the teeth so that there was less candy bar for a given package size? That was the bet 2 years ago for some sizes. But now there's news. The old shape is coming back. More chocolate, less dead space between the chunks. I say Toblerone instead of Toblerone since Mondelez International, headquartered in New Jersey, has owned the Swiss brand since 1990. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.